This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Michael Monks. Should the way Cincinnati voters choose their members of city council be changed? That's the question we explore today. One group, calling itself Fair Cincy, proposes five of the nine council members should be selected from designated districts, with the other four running at large across the city. Fair Cincy says the city and its voters would be better served, particularly at the neighborhood level. A petition is underway to push the proposed charter amendment to the ballot next year. And joining Cincinnati Edition to talk about it, our Charterite member, Henry Frondorf. Hi, Henry.
How you doing?
We also have with us Leslie Jones. She's a Democrat. Hi, Leslie.
Hello. How are you?
And also joining us today, Cincinnati City Councilman Greg Landsman. Welcome, Councilman Landsman.
Hey, thanks.
And you can join our conversation as well at 513-419-7100. Give us a call. We'll take your questions and your comments over the air. You can also email talk at wvxu.org or find us on Facebook or Twitter. We'll look for your comments and your tweets and try to get some of those in the show as well. And before we get going on the proposal that's before us, Henry, as a member of the Charter Committee, just give us the brief Cliff's Notes version of what the Charter Committee is. I know our listeners have probably heard the term many times, but maybe without a proper explanation. So if you could do that quickly.
Yeah, so the Charterites, they were formed back in the 20s to get rid of boxcocks, right? And it's all about good people for good government. So that's the intent. They basically follow the Cincinnati Constitution, the Cincinnati Charter. And it's as simple as that. You know, the old charter saying is there's no Republican or Democratic way to fill a pothole, just fill the pothole. And that's what the charters are all about.
And it's a political party unique to Cincinnati.
Correct. Yep.
Okay, so let's get into the proposal. How would this proposal work as you see it, Leslie?
Well, the way I see it, you know, it'll work this way. We have currently we not nine at large. We would be recommending that we go to five districts and four at large. So the five districts are all designed by looking at the census and keeping the population in line. And so we would end up with better accountability and better representation.
Is that your view of the matter, too, Henry?
That's correct.
Okay, so we have with us a city councilman, Greg Landsman, and you're one of nine who run currently at large. So
right.
That means you face all the voters all across the city,
right.
And accordingly, you have
yeah.
to campaign that way. You have
right.
to get out and touch all the neighborhoods for a better shot at being competitive in the election every time that you're on the ballot. So this proposal is being floated. I'm wondering what your thoughts are.
So a couple of thoughts. One is that, you know, I ran because of my passion for children and families and the work that we do, our office is focused on all of the children and families in the city. And so I like that about council now, that we're all focused or should be on the entirety of the city and every person. And for me, every child, every family. I do think that when we talk about these election changes, it's important to remind ourselves that at least when I go out, what I hear most from folks is we need more people who are going to be problem solvers, who are going to, you know, disagree but not be uncivil about it. I mean, I think people are so frustrated with just how awful politics has gotten, and at least here in Cincinnati, it should be a group of people who come together, who love the city and get work done. They don't always have to agree, but they should, stick to filling potholes and all of the other things that people care about. And so I do worry about the districts in the sense that you would have folks who are going to be more, tempted to fight. And but at the end of the day, it really is about electing really good people with integrity who will problem solve.
And that's something that I'd like to know as well, Leslie, is under the proposal with the five districts and the four at-large members, the five elected from districts would be charged with specifically representing the neighborhoods listed within those boundaries. Would you anticipate any type of ignoring of other parts of the city by the people represented to represent district-specific seats? Does it offer the opportunity then for people to become more parochial on the council?
Well, I think that people could become more parochial, but however, I think that most of those people who run for these offices and who want to do good work are going to look across the city and want a thriving city. And the way they in which they see us getting there is perhaps being a better representative of the area in which they live and or work or play. So I think that what we will end up with is individuals who are, yes, neighborhood concerned, but they are concerned about how that fleshes out throughout the city, not just the district that they particularly represent. And I think we have some great examples because we're talking about five districts and four at large. So there's still going to have to be, you know, some conversations, some trade-offs and things that will happen. We have that happening now. Unfortunately, we don't have a lot of development and a lot of things happening out in our neighborhoods at the rate that we have it happening in the just in the core.
So what would the difference be, Henry, for the at-large candidates, the four who are elected citywide compared to the five that are running solely within their district? Would they wield any certain responsibilities or have more power than those district-level representatives?
All right. So in the actual charter amendment language, it would read that every council member has the same power as the other. With at-large, the four at-large candidates will be elected in a field race just like they are now, right? You go to the ballot, you vote for your one district rep, and you also vote for four at-large. So the top four vote-getters for at-large will win. And so they are responsible for representing the whole city, in theory, just like the other district reps. But with a district rep, they're worried about 8 to 13 neighborhoods on a daily basis. Right now, you have nine council members trying to focus on 52 neighborhoods, which is impossible, right? It just cannot happen. So, and it hasn't happened, in my opinion. And so this way, you'll have a council member focused on a small amount of neighborhoods.
And you can join our conversation now at 513-419-7100. So I'm wondering, from a campaign perspective, what would the advantage be of running at large rather than in the district level race? See, you wouldn't have to appeal to as many voters if you're running at the district level. If you're running an at large race, you have to appeal to voters across the city. How would that be approached?
Well, I mean, if you're a well-known figure in Cincinnati, you might have a better shot at large, actually, than in a district. District really opens up the possibility of taking a lot of money out of politics. Instead of knocking on, you know, knowing 300,000 people, you only have to know 60,000 people. And if you're a well-known community figure in a certain district, you could raise 20, 30 grand instead of the mandated 100 grand to win now at large. So I think this opens up better regular candidates like Greg was talking about, who are going to want to work together and get things done.
And Leslie, under the proposed language within the charter amendment, how would those four at-large seats be selected? Would it be a field race?
It'll be a field race, just like it is now. That doesn't change. And so people can, you know, so technically people are still going to be able to vote, you know, for you know, five people. They would be able to vote for the person in their district, and then they could vote for four other at-large candidates.
Is there a type of candidate, Leslie, that is best suited to run in a district-style election who ordinarily would have been maybe perceived as disenfranchised by the current system?
Almost definitely. I think that the district system allows more grassroots people who you know, may not be broadly known around or across the city, and those who are not, you know, maybe able to raise, you know, the $100,000 or more, you know, that people are raising now. And so I think that we would get people who really want to be representatives and who want to go and be a voice for the communities they live in.
Greg Landsman is a Democratic member of the city council. And Greg, I want to talk to you from a campaign finance perspective. Running a campaign is hard anyway. You've got to get out and knock on a lot of doors, march in a lot of parades, meet a lot of people. But you also have to raise a lot of money.
Yeah.
Can you talk about the process as it stands now for a successful candidate and the amount of fundraising that you have to do to be competitive?
So you have to break through one way or the other. And, you know, social media has leveled the playing field, I think, to some extent. But, you know, you got to be able to buy some TV, maybe radio, mail. I don't think anything takes the place of knocking on doors in a field race. You know, we knocked on 25,000, 30,000 doors, and it's, hugely important in terms of understanding where people are and what they're looking for in terms of an elected official. So I wouldn't want any of that to go away. And I do love the idea that you do have to build those relationships across the city. I will say that one of the things that I'm glad that is being talked about as part of the Fair Elections Cincy work that Henry and Leslie are doing is that voting is down, right? Like 100 years ago, 100% of people voted, something like that. Now it's like 25, 26, 27%. So we have got to get to a place where people feel really good about showing up in between presidential elections and voting for their local elected officials, because it matters more than, in my opinion, anything else. My worry about the proposal, and I'm a big fan of staggered 4-year terms so that people can govern, but you get to check your council every 2 years. And I think that would increase voter participation. My worry about this proposal is that it's complicated. And so, you know, will that drive more voter engagement because there are districts, or because of the complexity, do people sort of turn away and be like, I don't really understand what's going on?
Do you remember offhand how much money you raised in your last campaign?
I do.
How much?
It was about $270,000.
Okay, so that's a lot, right?
Yeah.
So do you see an advantage as proposed and through what Leslie and Henry are saying that, you know, if you're running in a smaller district where you're going to 8 to 13 neighborhoods,
here's
there's
the
not
thing
as
about
much.
Politics and elections that I've learned is that it, no matter how you change it, the money is going to come. Like, there's still going to be this, like, need to raise a ton of money. And, you know, just because the number of people is smaller, I don't, you know, from 300,000 to 60, I still think people will find a way to spend a ton of money.
Do you agree with that, Henry?
Well, I think Greg is right that money can still flow into districts, but you're going to have a regular candidate that has a legitimate shot at winning with only 20 to 30 grand, because frankly, that's all you need to hit those houses. Right now, knocking on 25, 30,000 doors, you're only hitting the doors of people that voted in the last election typically. So you're missing 70% of the city currently, right? Move to districts, you can hit almost every registered voter. And that way you bring people back into the system. The way it currently now, I think a lot of people would agree, it's broken when 71% of people don't vote. And I think this will help that.
We've got some callers on the line that we're going to get to in just a moment. We're also going to break down the boundaries as they are currently drawn under this proposal, so you'll find out which district your neighborhood in Cincinnati may fall in. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. Thanks for listening to Cincinnati Edition On Demand. Did you know you can have the show delivered straight to your smartphone every day? Just go to your favorite podcast listening app, search Cincinnati Edition, and subscribe. You'll be able to keep up with all our great conversations with newsmakers, public officials, and other interesting people from the greater Cincinnati region and beyond on the go, anytime, anywhere. It's great for those days you can't tune in to catch us live. Weekdays at noon on 91.7 WVXU. And this is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Michael Monks. We continue now with our look at a proposal to change the way Cincinnati City Council members are elected. The organization Fair Cincy is proposing a charter amendment to allow 5 council members to run in designated districts and the other 4 to run at large. And we're joined by Fair Cincy members, Charterite Henry Frondorf. Hello, Henry.
Hello.
And we have Democrat Leslie Jones. Hi, Leslie.
Hey, how are you?
And we're also joined today by current Cincinnati City Councilman Greg Lanzmann. Hi, Greg.
Hi.
And you can join us at 513-419-7100 if you'd like to get in on the conversation. We'll go to the phones now. We have Tom on the line. Hi, Tom. What's your question or comment?
Hi. Thanks for the show, and thanks for the efforts on bringing district elections to the city. I think it's long overdue. We lost districts because of the charter amendments from almost 100 years ago that tried to kind of transform the city to a more corporate board ruling at large as opposed to a representative body setting policy for an administration. So I'm very in favor of the district side. I do think there's a little confusion on the at-large because I think there's still the idea that Councilmember Lanzmann echoed, which is that at-large elected people have bigger ideas or bigger vision as opposed to the safety affordability, quality of life issues that are going to face the geographic district. I think that's one thing to kind of tackle, is that you've got too many at-large seats. They're out of proportion to the districts. And then I really do think you have to take on the mayor position as well and integrate it into your new plan, so that we don't have half a city manager and half a mayor, which is what we currently have right now, and half of both is neither of either. And really looking at the mayor position being head-to-head and being the at-large race would allow you then to focus on making the districts more representative.
Tom, we appreciate the call very much. Thank you for that perspective. Let's continue with the phone lines now. Next up is Charles. Hi, Charles. What's your question or comment?
Well, the comments that sort of lead to these questions. One, the idea of the local districting has gone back to at least 20, 25 years where I was first aware of it as a remedy, though it never got traction. The other problem, though, that's facing a lot of the communities is they feel a distance with City Hall. And basically it's because, for a lot of reasons, but one of them is the council tends to be representing such a large a part of the population that it's very hard to focus particularly on the community needs. I mean, some of the criticisms about the banks and over the Rhine and other entertainment districts is that they're sort of supporting commercial interests that are designated as opposed to past what could be happening in communities at large. And the other thing about districting is that it allows at least two or three districts maybe to develop their own plans that they can do cohesively they could develop together. So, I mean, that's my comments and my statement.
Charles, thanks so much for the phone call. We appreciate it. You can join us at 513-419-7100. And that's an issue that I would like to raise with the three of you, two of you representing the pro-charter amendment, and we have a city council member who is not so much in favor of it. Henry, is there a position that the districts and the neighborhoods within them would have more control over their destiny as it relates to development under this plan?
Oh, for sure. I believe so. I think Leslie would agree with me 100%. You have a council member who's focused on 8 to 13 neighborhoods. They can help you create those districts. When I was in Hartwell, you hear all the time, we only see a council member when they're running for council, right? We don't hear from them ever. Carthage, there's five neighborhoods that don't even have a community council. Like, how does that happen, right? It's because no one is focused on those neighborhoods. And I think this will be a huge help. To get neighborhoods on the same page.
And Greg, go ahead.
I mean, so I've been to Carthage several times in the last 18, months or however long I've been on council. And it is true that, I don't see a lot of my colleagues, but this is my worry, that we try to mess with the system, which, if this passes, it's not a big deal one way or the other. I mean, I think the key is to make sure we're voting for people who are committed to being in the community, to going to community council meetings, to, pushing for not just every neighborhood, but those neighborhoods that feel really left out. And there are several of us who do that. And so I don't want that to get lost in let's change the rules. Let's make sure we continue to focus on electing the right people who are committed to being out there. And I do, for me, it's not that I oppose this as much as because there are benefits to this. It's just that the cities like Columbus and Dayton that are, I think, doing really well have staggered 4-year terms. School boards, commissions, we put that on the ballot last year. It actually passed. More than 50% of people said, yeah, we want staggered 4-year terms. It's just that the 2-year term people had hundreds of thousands of dollars and it got more votes. So we're back to 2-year terms. And I think that's the biggest thing that needs to be fixed is we should do staggered 4-year terms, one way or the other.
Do you think that 2-year terms are too short and force you into campaign season
constantly,
too early?
Yeah, constantly campaigning. And I mean, we're about to release, eight or nine new ordinances and motions around reducing evictions. And it took us a year and a half to work on this. And I would hate to have those big things get undermined because people have to be constantly campaigning.
And Leslie, how would that work under this proposal if people are elected at large and at the district level? Would there be any length of term mandated, 2 or 4 years, or would they be staggered?
No, in the current language, that we don't really tackle the issue of changing the terms. The terms remain the same. But I would say that I, you know, do agree with Councilman Landsman. I was definitely a supporter of 4 year staggered terms. How that plays out in the current proposal, we haven't really changed the terms. The terms stay the same at the 2 years. And I don't know, Henry might be able to talk a little bit more. We haven't really said, yeah, let's throw that in there. It's already enough to change the way we elect council. To add on top of that, let's change the terms while we're doing it. We think that that would really muddy this up, because what we're trying to do is get better representation and more accountability, and to give those grassroots people an opportunity to really run for council.
We do want to note that we reached out to the Republican Party to have someone from the party on. There was not anyone available from the official party, and we reached out to council members Jeff Pastor and Amy Murray, and they were not available to join us either. We got an email from Steve in Oakley. Fair Cincinnati lists as the driving force for the proposed charter change the consistently low voter turnout for elections, 29% in the last citywide election. I think we all agree that this is not a good thing. While I applaud them for shining a light on this elective process shortcoming, I don't think the solution they offer will provide the relief they seek. It will just rearrange the chairs, as the expression Cincinnati is in need of Murray Season Good style leadership and reform. Perhaps this effort, even if it falls short, will provide some momentum in that direction and motivate a reform movement to step into the breach. It is sorely needed. Councilman Landsman, you're raising your hands
Amen.
Triumphantly in that comment. So are all of you in agreement on what Steve is saying?
I mean, I really agree with Steve. I was just out yesterday knocking doors in Millville. All right. Who goes to Cummingsville, South, you know, North and South Fairmount, really, and really work with those people. So the comments I was getting, you know, was I don't know who the council members are, actually. Had a few people tell me that, and a few people tell me that, you know, I've not really had people ever knock on my door. And they were very in favor. And we're getting excited. Does this mean people will come out now and we'll see them? So I think that this could be a catalyst to engage people. And it certainly will get, I think, neighborhood people working, because they're going to work for their candidate.
But to Steve's point, Steve from Oakley?
Yes.
To Steve's point from Oakley, I mean, I'm not disagreeing with Leslie. I just, the thing that I hope is really generated in this conversation is this need for more candidates who want to be in politics and public service and on city council to serve people and to be out in community, to constantly be engaged, working with them to work on their issues, as opposed to the kind of people mm-hmm. who oftentimes run, which are folks who have their own agendas. They get to City Hall and you never hear from them again.
Okay, we've just got a few minutes left. I want to make sure that I at least let our listeners know what this map looks like. We've got a link at WVXU inside Cincinnati, WVXU.org inside the Cincinnati Edition tab with all the information that you'll need. But just for the purpose of those listening, there are 5 proposed districts. How were these drawn up, Henry?
We're using 2010 census tracts, which is the only thing we could use. You can't set up districts by registered voters. That's illegal. So we use 2010 census tracts. We kept all the census tracts within districts, a certain district, so no census tract is split. Also, we kept all neighborhoods intact except for Westwood. It's so large, and Evanston, the same thing. And so it's a very fair map. We're within 2.84% from the smallest district population to the largest district population.
Okay. It does look like it's mostly just geographic in nature.
Correct.
With the population.
Yep.
They all range from like the mid 58,000s to a little bit above 60,000. So pretty equitable in terms of the population. District 1 made up of Camp Washington, Coryville, the CUF, that Clifton?
Cuff.
Yeah, okay.
Clifton University.
Gotcha. Right. Downtown, East Walnut Hills, Evanston, part of it, Mount Adams, Mount Auburn, Over the Rhine, Pendleton, Walnut Hills, and the West End, all in one district. District 2 would include California, Columbia, Tusculum, East End, Hyde Park, Kennedy Heights, Linwood, Madisonville, Mount Lookout, Mount Washington, and Oakley. District 3 would be Avondale, Bond Hill, Carthage, Clifton, Evanston, the other part, Hartwell, North Avondale, Paddock Hills, Pleasant Ridge, and Roselawn. District 4 would be College Hill, East Westwood, English Woods, Millvale, Mount Airy, North Fairmount, Northside, South Cumminsville, South Fairmont, Spring Grove Village, villages at Roll Hill, part of Westwood, and Winton Hills. And then District 5 would be East Price Hill, Lower Price Hill, Queensgate, Riverside, Sailor Park, Sedamsville, West Price Hill, and another part of Westwood. Okay, so what is the status currently? You're working on a petition. You have to get a certain number of signatures. Where do we stand on that?
So right now we probably have about 500 signatures. We need 6,000 to get it on the ballot. We are, you know, wanting people to go out to faircincy.org, sign up, get some petitions, and gather some signatures with us. But we feel like we're having good conversations and we're getting good momentum, and we are confident that we will reach that 6,000.
Okay, and Henry, at what ballot date are you searching for? There will be a primary election in March. That could be
turnout. We're trying to get to the March 2020 ballot. We need the 6,000 signatures in probably late November to make that happen.
Okay, so you've only got 500 so far.
So we're busting our butts, and we need your help out there.
Well,
so
how are you doing that? How exactly are you targeting voters?
So we're going, knocking on doors. We are at Clifton Fest. We were at Incline Fest last week, so we're hitting festivals. And knocking on doors and going to community councils. I was in East Walnut Hills and Oakley last week. Hope to be in Clifton and Sailor Park tonight.
All right. Our thanks to Fair Cincy members Henry Frondorf and Leslie Jones. Also want to thank Cincinnati City Councilman Greg Landsman for joining us as well. Thanks for being here.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. The producer for today's show is Elise Meckler. The assistant producer is Selena Reeder. The technical director is Josh Elstro. Subscribe to our podcast at WVXU.org. I'm Michael Monks.